This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora everybody, welcome to season 2 of the Equal Agenda podcast. My name is Hazel, I'm studying a Bachelor of Social Sciences at the University of Waikato, doing a major in management and psychology. I flat here in Hamilton, but home is Whakatane.
Hi, I'm Masne. I'm currently studying at Waikato University with a Bachelor of Arts, double major in English and History. I was born in South Africa but moved to New Zealand with my family when I was about 5 years old.
Hey everyone, I'm Jamina. I'm 21 years old and I'm a student at Waikato, majoring in psychology and minoring in human resource management. I was born in the Philippines and moved to New Zealand when I was 11 and grew up around the Waikato area, currently living in Hamilton.
We are super excited to start season 2. If you haven't already listened to season 1, we highly recommend it. Molly and Isabel did an amazing job at interviewing all kinds of incredible women who have shared their stories and their thoughts on bridging the gap between gender inequality. However, this season we're taking a more personal approach and sharing our own thoughts and experiences about womanhood and gender inequality. Since we will be sharing our experiences, we'd like to tell you a bit about ourselves. I was super shy as a child, so my parents quickly enrolled me in a performing arts academy. And one of the first excerpts I remember learning was a woman's suffragette piece, where we embodied influential women like Malala Yousafzai and Kate Shepherd. I think it was then where I first understood that the freedoms I took for granted and the opportunities I have, like the right to learn and the right to vote, have actually been a hard fight. I don't think I truly got the depth of it at a time. Like, I definitely didn't make the connection that this was going to shape my entire being as a woman and entire experience as a woman. But I remember being genuinely baffled. Like, why would anyone think women were less than men? It made no sense to me. Looking back on it now, I think that is so pure. Like, damn, she has no idea how ugly the world can be. This confusion quickly turned into anger and frustration, but now purpose. I like to think as my quiet voice grew louder for myself, it also grew a passion to speak for something greater than myself, and not just for women, but for all minority groups. It is a privilege to have the opportunity to create a platform where conversations about the realities of womanhood, both the highs and the lows, can be held. I'm proud to be actively contributing to a movement that empowers women to feel seen, heard, and valued.
I love that. I love everything that you said.
That's so nice. I love that, like, art became like a form of a way for you to express and kind of find your own voice about, especially about feminism.
Like, you know, I felt so lucky that, like, being on the stage, I not only found a voice for myself, but for women as a whole.
I think that's, like, so wonderful that you guys had, like, a play about the women's suffrage. Like, I think that's, like, a really good way to, like, teach kids about history, you know? Like, and it's, like, a fun way for them as well. Like, I think that's so wonderful.
Yeah, I think it was so cool to do that, like, as young as, like, 8 years old. I'm gonna guess, I think it's such a nice, soft way to introduce that the world isn't all rainbows and butterflies, I suppose.
I absolutely love that you had this, like, little thing in your mind the whole time since you were 8 years old, and it just developed and stayed with you, and now that you're older and you actually processed how important it was to have that aspect and to have that introduction into the world.
It's quite beautiful.
So for me, I moved away from all my extended family when I was 5 years old. It was just my parents and my older sister. We are a very close, intimate family, and we talk about everything. There is nothing off limits. Specifically, my mum, she always talked about her experiences as a woman, and there was never a topic that was too taboo for her to talk about, and she never shied away from answering questions about anything that I had. From anything from periods to sex to childbirth to pregnancy, and more recently for her experience with menopause. With all these conversations that she has had very openly with me and my sister, it's normalized how women should feel about their bodies. And through these conversations I've had with my mum, it's really sparked an interest in me of understanding how I should be feeling, and it's okay if I feel a different way to somebody else, or if the way that my body works is still just as healthy as somebody else whose body functions differently. Through my mum talking about her experiences, I was able to grasp how important it is for women to have a voice about their own rights and how they feel and where it fits into like the societal norm, whether it's good thing or a bad thing of how you feel. My mum was very fortunate to be able to experience these positive experiences of womanhood, and she often talked about how she wished other women felt the same way that she did. And it's such a societal norm to just push past being like, oh, you gave birth and it's you got now got a child, like you need to be happy. But they never talk about the postpartum depression or the anxiety or anything with pregnancy or going back to regular periods and anything like that. So through these open conversations, it made me realize that if my mum feels like that and I feel like that and I'm nervous to grow up and be a woman, I can't wait to talk about it with other women and see how they feel. This has transitioned through into my studies of studying reproductive histories. Reproductive histories is a very niche topic that not many people know about, but it helped me understand that I'm not alone in the way that I feel and the choices I make for my own reproductive rights and what I have access to and the reason why I have access to those things. So in the whole feminist idea, I think it's more having the right to feel how you want to feel. And it doesn't matter if you feel differently to somebody else, so your opinions and emotions are still validated. And I want other women to feel that same way. Hence why I'm here on this podcast.
I really like that your like mom has played such a big part in it as well, like being kind of talking about her experiences. And yeah. Like, you know, I think reproductive rights is so important. And it's like, I'm looking forward to learning more from you about it, really.
Yeah. You'll learn so much. Like, there is actually so much to talk about for reproductive histories that, like, nobody knows it's reproductive histories. They just think it's like, they're like, oh, women just talk about their periods. And it's like, yeah, that's history. That's what history is. History is people talking and people sharing how they felt.
Yeah.
And we're creating history right now, which is actually so exciting to think about.
Yeah.
Right.
And, like, don't get me wrong, wars are very significant and they affect the way that our lives have changed, but it's also the everyday struggles that we have to go through. Like, women create our future.
Yeah.
You can't create a baby without some sort of uterus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, because sometimes the argument about keeping, like, women's reproduction and, like, periods and, like, cycles and stuff, like, the argument that we keep it taboo is because it's, like, gory and personal, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But wasn't the war gory? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, there was blood there too. Why can't there be blood in our conversations? Yeah.
There's only certain gore that they could accept, I guess. Women aren't supposed to be gory.
Yeah. Well, then that's the idea of, like, women have to be really feminine and put together and neat and tidy. And periods are pretty much the exact opposite. Like, you're losing...
You're shedding yourself like
reptiles shed. Why can't we talk about our shedding too? Like, it should be an open conversation. And I'm very grateful that my mum was that open conversation for me.
Wrapping it back. It is so cool to have a strong relationship with your mum and, you know, to always have that person that no matter what, she's going to understand it, she's going to be there. I'm lucky enough to also have a really strong relationship with my mum, and she has also definitely helped me through the
transition of womanhood.
Yeah, just the journey of being a woman, I suppose.
I fully agree. Like, it's so important to be able to talk to someone about it. And it's like, you know, when you have your mother in the picture, it's so helpful usually to be able to talk about it, you know, like to have a support system and for you to be able to support her as well through like stuff like menopause, like you said.
Yeah, it's not until like when I was younger she talked about it and I was like, oh yeah, cool, like that's just all part of growing up. And now that I'm getting older and processing my own ideas of womanhood, it's really nice to see my mum reflect on her past and things that she experienced.
I feel like the older we get, we understand more and more how important it is to have that support person, and how like lucky and grateful we are for it to be our mums. Like, not everyone has that person, let alone that their mum is that person, and for these experiences to be talked about like just casually, and for these, like, you know, once taboo topics to be normalized, I think that's really cool.
So for me, I love people and I love learning about our thought processes. Reflecting on societal perceptions has always been my favorite food for thought. I'm quite excited to work on this project with Martine and Hazel, as we're also passionate about the topic of women's experiences. So I'll spend a little time talking about my own. I didn't have a particularly big cinematic moment where I realized that I'm a feminist. In fact, I think in a lot of my experiences, I didn't even register them as problems caused by misogyny until much later in life. I was born in the Philippines and lived there until I was 11. In retrospect, I think that growing up, going to a predominantly white rural high school shaped my teenage years as a young girl of color. I kind of thought of myself as less pretty and less desirable than the white girls. And it's really sad to think about now, as someone who's much more confident in my self-image than I was at the time. But also, who was pitting me against these other girls? Why did I think like that? Like, this kind of experience is, I think, quite common. It's a tough time figuring yourself out. And also, I think a lot of these things we don't really talk about to other people. So then we kind of start thinking that it's not normal. So I think a lot of my goal here is to help normalize a lot of those conversations and to reach the people who may be dealing with these thoughts, maybe without even knowing it. And even if it is hard to work past that mindset, acknowledgement and reassurance is always a good start.
I actually love that you talked about being a woman of color in a like white rural school, because people don't talk. Like, I went to a very public, very like your standard city primary school, standard city like high school. So I never knew what it's like to grow up in a very small, tight community where everyone like can see every single part of you. Like, you are fully exposed to the world, and with that comes amazing opportunities, but also comes with people disrespecting you based off what you look like and judging you because there's no one else they can talk about.
Yeah, it's definitely quite a unique perspective, and it is crazy, like, the amount of things I thought was just normal growing up. Like, oh yeah, you know, like, I didn't think that it was a color issue until I realized that it really was, and I don't think a lot of people really do either.
Yeah. So, like, you experienced it before you knew what it was, and that's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are probably so many young girls out there that might be listening to this on the radio, who never knows, that are probably there in primary school being like, why am I not friends with those girls? And it just comes down to the fact that you look different to them.
I think it's absolutely beautiful that you talked about how you didn't realize that you were being discriminated against. And now looking back on it, you're like, I'm actually confident in who I am. This is me. I need other women to listen and other people to feel the confidence I do at such a young age when you couldn't experience it yourself.
So yeah, it's quite interesting. I could go on about it for ages, but that could be for another episode.
Well, you bring a very unique perspective, so it's great to have like the balance. Do you know what I mean? Mm.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great. You got like three different perspectives here, three different backgrounds, and you know, the YWCA had gone and brought us all together for this podcast.
Yeah, I am so excited for all of us to each bring our own perspective, and you know, we've got our own heart that we're going to talk from, and then hopefully it's going to do a really good job of shaping the experience of womanhood.
The YWCA is the people that brought us three women together for this beautiful opportunity to create this podcast series for you. If you don't know about the YWCA, we'll give you a little rundown on their history and what they stand for. The YWCA is a global movement focused on women's empowerment, leadership, and rights. It's been around in Aotearoa since 1878, when the first branch opened in Dunedin. A few years later, in 1883, the Christchurch branch started, mainly focused on visiting women who were sick in hospital. By the late 1800s, the Auckland branch was supporting young working women and running programs like the Girls Citizens Movement. This helped young women learn how to run meetings, speak in public, and get involved in their communities beyond just home or work life. In 1920, the YWCA of Whangarei was established to provide a safe hostel for the British women immigrants, helping to find them accommodation and work. When we fast forward to 1973, the YWCA launched Step Ahead, a program to help young Māori and Pacifica women re-enter the workforce. Since then, they've run initiatives like InCore for Breast Cancer Recovery, Future Leaders for mentoring high school students, and more recently, things like the Equal Pay Awards, Gender Tech Business Accreditation, and the Y25 List, a year-long mentoring and support program for young women. Overall, the YWCA focuses on collaborating with women and creating opportunities so all women can thrive. They work to amplify women's voices and provide a space where women can come together, feel inspired, and be safe to express who they really are. We want to take these values of the YWCA and carry it over into our conversations and to our podcast.
We're taking season two of Equal Agenda into a new direction. This season is about unpacking today's complexities of womanhood through our perspectives. We'll discuss a range of topics, from the pressure to be kind, to the myths of gender-based differences, to the influences shaping or shaking our culture. Our episodes will be a lot more conversational. The three of us have big opinions and even bigger questions. With more of a focus on our personal experiences, we want to discuss relevant topics for the young women around us, both lighthearted and more serious topics. We want this podcast to be a breath of fresh air for women to feel heard, seen, and respected.
We want all women to feel heard when they listen to our experiences and understand that the way that they're feeling is valid.
Yeah. It's like, it's so important. Like, a lot of the times we don't have these conversations and then we kind of almost internalize the, I think a lot of the time, especially as women, we are very judgy of our inner thoughts. So sometimes hearing those inner thoughts and then just kind of being like, oh, so that is normal. Mm. You know, that's fine. And it's important to talk about it. It's, yeah, in a way, it kind of gives you your own voice as well, where you're like, oh, well, it's okay to talk about it. I should share that with other people. The goal ultimately is, for me anyway, is to, like, to help people digest feminism in a way that isn't just all theories and big ideas, you know, because that's definitely a huge part of it. But ultimately, it's also, like, the everyday lives of women.
Yeah, because I think when people think of feminism and they're just like, ugh, you're such a feminist, they see it as the people that are out on the streets causing riots and protesting. And it's like, yeah, we're fighting for our rights because we had these small conversations in our own circle. Mm. The thing that started feminism was these small conversations.
Yes. And feminism doesn't have to be so angry all the time. Feminism doesn't mean, like you said, women fighting for their rights on the streets. Feminism can also look like sitting here and talking about our struggles, but also the beautiful moments that we experience, you know. Feminism doesn't directly link to man-hating or anger. You know, feminism can be sometimes negatively connotated. Yeah. That is what I'm trying to say.
That is such an important point. I so totally agree. Like feminism does not equal misandry. And I think, while I think it's a valid reaction for a lot of people's experiences, it doesn't, I think people tend to shy away from it because they think that it's all about, like, being angry at people. And it's like, a lot of the time people forget that with movements like these, it's not about bringing the other people down. It's about lifting ourselves up to be on equal grounds.
Yeah. It's a community. Yeah. Like, I think that's the main thing.
Our different experiences have made us feel passionate about different areas of womanhood.
I feel like I am most passionate about or get most angry about is the pressure women face to look and act a certain way and the predetermined ideas about how we will be the ones to cook and clean or we will be the one to move out of a man's way when walking down the street. And it physically pains me about these beauty standards that society has created for us, from the way that people in my life talk about food to the young girls online unknowingly getting fed all this BS about what you need to look like. It is something I am really excited to speak about in later episodes.
I quite like what you said about the women being expected to move out of the way. Like, I think about that a lot. I think I saw a video about it and I realized, like, yeah, why do I need to be the one who's always moving out of the way? Like,
yeah,
we should both watch where we're going. So yeah, even just those little things.
I absolutely love that, Hazel. For me, it was focusing on my mother and everything that she said. And this feeling of guilt never really went away until I studied history at the university. I found out about reproductive histories and this little light bulb went off in my head. Every history paper I did, I felt myself gravitating towards wanting to talk about women's experiences with anything related to reproductive rights and reproductive health. So hopefully throughout this podcast series, I can reach those women out there that are struggling to understand their body and remove the ideas of what's the normal.
I really like the kind of educational take that you had on that. And I think that's really valuable to have as a woman. So for me, I'm someone who wears my interests on my sleeve. I've been in fandom spaces since I was a kid, and it's been a strange experience going into womanhood and becoming almost afraid to engage with people who share my interests. And it's usually when my interest has a predominantly male fan base. Most recently, I've gotten into F1 racing. And as a woman, I feel like my interest in the sport isn't quite taken as seriously. And it's really frustrating. I feel that women are constantly having to perform. So much of what we do is attached to our womanhood. When I do end up with interests associated with women or girls, like for example, I love boy bands, I feel self-conscious about it because then there's that worry of my girly interests affirming people's sexist ideas. I don't think it's fair to have to police what we enjoy because of people's preconceptions, but I think that's how a lot of us have been thinking as of late. To me, womanhood is a careful craft. We have to calculate our moves and work harder to be seen as equal to a man who's valued for himself. And that's something that I think is very important to acknowledge, and it's something I would love to talk about more in our upcoming episodes.
I'm so excited to talk about that too, and how we have to take calculated steps. I'm so excited to talk about that.
This podcast series will highlight these passions we just talked about and more. We'll like to take this time to acknowledge the broader picture and how our own experiences won't essentially cover or reflect every woman's experience. For example, the experiences of trans women as well as non-binary people still affected by and relating to experiences of female-identifying individuals.
Yeah, ultimately, our personal experiences with womanhood are subjective. We're just sharing our stories. It's not to say that this is the story of everyone. So I think that's important for us to acknowledge moving on.
Yeah, the main aim of this podcast is to just bring light to important subjects and just create this safe space where everyone and every woman can feel heard, seen, and respected.
This podcast series is a space to uplift the voices for all our listeners who resonate with these experiences and to bring awarenesses to their own experiences, even if it's not something we're going to talk about.
Through this podcast, we hope to encourage people to speak up about their own experiences, to increase awareness and help people to learn more about the hardships that we all continue to face as women in a patriarchal society.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.